What is going on with FPL? The average was 36. Ole and Poch are in turmoil. Norwich are in need of a fix. Leicester nearly pulled off a draw, but Milner scored his pen. Traore destroyed City. Is it only a question of when for Liverpool to win the title, now they are 8 points clear? Or will the madness continue of this topsy-turvy FPL year? Welcome to Triple Captain. How are we this week, Rich? Are you going to introduce our lovely guest?
Yes, mate. I'm good. I'm here with Toby Tarrant, fellow Radio X colleague, and we also play for the same football team on Monday evenings.
We do indeed, which we need to talk about last night at some point. I'll let you guys decide when, but we need to talk about Rich Wolfenden's behaviour.
All right, well, come on to it later.
Okay, whenever you want, Rich. I'm ready whenever. Yeah. Okay. That's really why I'm here, is mainly to talk about that.
Is it really? Okay.
As a producer, I'd like to say we're going to talk about it right now.
Okay, good. Excellent producing, Ben.
It was a rainy night, but I did score an absolute worldie, which is where the story ends, and that's essentially it, really.
I feel like you're not telling us something there, Rich.
Can I tell you that from my point of view at centre-back is that Rich did score an absolute screamer early doors to put the mighty Crystal Palace 1-0 up.
And I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Nothing gets by you. And then and Rich did score an absolute screamer to put us 1-0 up. Also, Rich did not time a tackle for the whole game. He was just snapping at people's ankles to the point that they were getting pretty wound up throughout the game. And about 4 minutes from the end of the game, one of their players had too much of Rich, and Rich again horribly mistimed a tackle. No malice, you know what Rich is like. He doesn't mean to annoy you; he just annoys you.
And, one of those faces.
He's got one of those faces. Yeah. And Rich has clipped this guy's ankle one too many times, and the bloke right in front of the ref has just turned around and just slapped Rich around the chops.
No,
slapped him.
Yeah.
At this point, it's been a great game. We were 2-0 up, then went 3-2 down. It's now 3-3. There's a few minutes left. And for about 10 seconds, they had a man sent off and we had a man advantage. So the guys turned around, slapped Rich around the face. I thought, brilliant. Right, we've got an extra man here for the last 5 minutes. The referee sent that bloke off. As he's walking away, Rich can't help himself, kicks the bloke in the back of the foot and gets sent off as well. That couldn't help himself.
Rich did the full Beckham and just stuck his leg out.
It was such a David Beckham. Except he had to walk after the bloke to get to him.
I went and apologised afterwards. I said, mate, sorry, I saw red.
I didn't actually see that. Did you speak to the bloke afterwards?
I went and spoke to him afterwards, and one of the teammates said, who's this joker? As I walked over to apologise. So I don't think there was too much team spirit coming our way.
He was perhaps referencing the new film with Joaquin Phoenix, you don't know.
Yeah, it's a good joke.
Maybe. Hopefully.
It's a very topical insult.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Maybe meant it as a compliment.
Yeah, perhaps.
Exactly. Anyway, I just thought that you guys should know, basically.
Well, thanks for telling us that, Toby. That was.
I'm glad that came up. I'm definitely glad that came up.
That was great. We're definitely getting some insight into the darker side of Rich Wolfenden.
Yeah, I don't know how he's been portrayed on this podcast so far, but I thought the people deserve to know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, so we've got three talking points this week. Obviously, it's the international break, so we won't do too much of a preview of game week 9. We'll more kind of review game week 8 and look at our plans for the future and our teams, who we're thinking about bringing in, who we're thinking about getting rid of. So three talking points this week are what to do with Salah and Sterling. Why is FPL so unpredictable this season? And are Chelsea the best attacking team in the league right now? So before we do that, how did you get on this week, gents? It was a very low average, wasn't it? It was 36 average. How did you get on, Toby?
So, like you say, it was a weird week. So I got 38 points and I thought, oh, I've had a stinker there. I've let a few people in. And then I looked down my league and that was pretty decent in the end. I was sort of top third probably in the league that I'm in of all my mates. So on paper, 38, but I don't think anyone did too well overall, to be honest.
So you must be doing pretty well in like loads of like the leagues you get lobbed in with, like the team you support and that sort of thing. So you're a Liverpool fan, right?
Liverpool fan, yeah.
So whereabouts are you in the
I'm on 491 points total. So on top of my two mates' leagues, and then I'm 4,300 with the Liverpool fans, which I think is pretty good going. Overall, 24,298. That's dipped a bit. that's dipped a bit. But I'm happy with that. This is my FPL debut season as well.
Because it's different rules, right, for the Sky Sports one. There's different budgets and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the Sky Sports one's very, very different. So you can make a transfer on a Saturday night. So you can suddenly bring a player in that's playing on the Sunday, or you could do it on the Sunday night for the Monday.
So in the middle of the game week, even though it's been 3 p.m. kickoffs.
Yeah. Okay. So the only reason we did the Sky Sports one was we used to bet on it. So me and my mates would put 20 quid in.
Yeah.
And you could do it easy on the Sky Bet one that you'll put 20 quid in, whoever wins, it gets paid out. It was easier than collecting the money. Anyway, this year I tried to set up a league and I just realised that everyone's on FPL. And also I'd noticed in years gone by, I'd be going, yeah, I'm killing up fantasy football. And then they'd say, oh, what points are you on? And then I'd say, oh, I do the Sky Sports one, and everyone would just not count you.
Yeah.
So I felt out of the conversation.
Yeah, it's kind of like the cheap spin-off league of the FPL one, isn't it, really?
And I've realised now, it took me a while, and I'm that person that refused to watch Game of Thrones because everyone was watching it.
Right.
So I've finally come round to the FPL, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying my debut season in the FPL.
So what is it, when we after football, one week you tell me that you have to down a pint if you get the highest points in your fantasy league, is that right?
There's a few rules. So no, the rules are, so there's about 20 of us in the league.
Right.
And whoever comes top each week gets to nominate somebody else in the group to neck a pint. They have to film it and send it in. And also whoever comes bottom has to neck a pint.
By default, because
by default, going right, bottom. Okay. But if you win, you get the advantage of nominating as well. The reason for the rule was mainly that thing in fantasy football where about 12 weeks into the season, a few people are doing so badly that they just stop playing.
Right.
Whereas this keeps people playing till the end of the season because each week there's something to play for, basically.
It's so that incentive.
That was our way around it. Because normally by the end of the season, it turns into about four people still caring about their team.
Yeah, true.
And you look at your mate and he's got five injured players in the team and he hasn't changed it in a few months. So we wanted to avoid that. So we introduced the forfeit, basically.
Yeah. I think maybe we should bring in a forfeit to the podcast. What do you reckon, Luke?
Yeah, we could do. I mean, there's only three of us, so there'd be quite a lot of forfeits going around. But you know, I'm up for it. I've had a good few weeks now. I'm feeling pretty confident.
How did you do this weekend?
So I got 42, which I was quite happy with considering the average. I mean, there wasn't really any players that did well. I mean, I kind of was agonising over what to do with De Bruyne before the start of this week, and because I got him in at 9.9 and he's only 10, I thought I might as well take him out and bring someone in for a 1 week punt. So I brought in Pepe from Arsenal.
Interesting.
I was close to bringing in Mahrez, but I thought he might not start, and I didn't want to get stung by Pep Roulette again. And there wasn't really anybody else that I was interested in. I already got Son in my team. I didn't want to risk a City player. I couldn't afford Mane or Salah. So I ended up going for Pepe because I liked the amount of shots he was having. And I thought against Bournemouth as well, I mean, I got it wrong, but my little preview that I wrote about captains on the Triple Captain blog website, I said about the recent games between Arsenal and Bournemouth had all been goal fests, and Arsenal and Bournemouth's defensive records were both really, really poor going into this game, both conceding loads of shots. And Pepe managed to get an assist. So in a week of like terrible returns, that was a shining light. Yeah, so he got 6, Abraham got 8, and Pope 7, Lundstrom 5. The rest all 2s, 1s, 3s. So yeah, but I, again, a small green arrow. So since my wild card, I've got a green arrow each week. So I'm 292,000 overall.
That's pretty good. So you've gone up what, couple hundred thousand there, is it?
About 50,000 places.
About 50,000, yeah. So I mean, when the week's like this and it's so, so tight with people not making any difference, to get any kind of green arrow anywhere is like a real achievement. So fair play to you, you've done all right there. And that's Pepe's best week as well, I think, isn't it? So far,
probably
something with an assist.
That. Yeah. I mean, I'm tempted to keep him in after that, but we'll see. So yeah, I'm 6 points behind you now, Rich.
Oh yeah, you're kidding me.
I'm coming for you. Oh. How did you do?
Okay, for the second week running, I did bang average again, 36, matched the overall average. I only got goals from my Chelsea contingent, Mount and Abraham, delivering for me. Again, though, had players on the bench. McGovern, I've no idea how on earth he got 9 points. They lost 5-1 to Villa.
They saved a pen.
Saved the penalty, yeah.
So what do you get for saving a penalty? How many points is that?
I think it's five.
You get five points, yeah. And he made
Where are the other ones come? Nine points for shipping five.
I know.
Yeah,
I mean, ridiculous.
That is pretty crazy, isn't it? You got two bonus. I mean, that just shows where FPL is a little bit bad sometimes with how they score things. I mean, yeah, there's no way he should have got 9 points. Great. It was a great save on that penalty, but to concede five goals and then get a bonus is crazy to me.
It was the rebound that impressed me the most. Did you see it? He went like belly flopped out like that, spread his arms like the Angel of the North. Now, it was an incredible save.
On the flip side of that, right, so I was working Saturday, so I was just following the scores on my phone. I brought John McGinn in this week, right, because I just rate him. I think he's quality.
Yeah, yeah. Background Ben is a Villa fan and looks...
Oh, he's McGinniester. McGinniester.
John McGinn. I'm sure I coined McGinniester.
You know, I'll let you have it because I nicked it from somewhere. It could have well have been you. So I know I've put McGinn in my team. I check the Sky Sports app. They're 5-0 up when I check it. I go, here we go. How many is he backed? How many is set up? He got 1 point. He got booked. No goals and assists. How? How did Villa score five and McGinn's not involved in any of them? He got 1 point. McGovern lets five in, 9 points.
Yeah, so I put that on our little triple captain WhatsApp group. I was like, Ben, how the hell has McGinn not got any points from a 5-1 win? It was crazy. He was quite quiet, wasn't he, really? It didn't really have many chances. I mean, Villa were superb. I mean, they attacked really, really well. But
was it the fifth goal? Which he was just bent into the top corner.
Oh, yeah,
Douglas Luiz. Yeah. That's his second one like that, isn't it? He scored one like that earlier in the season. He was great. Okay. Well, there you have it. So yeah, Rich, bang average. And what's your overall rank?
My overall rank, I am 208,222. So just outside the top 200,000. A red arrow, but... I've not moved too much, I don't think. Maybe like 20,000, something like that it was. So,
and also, I think it just shows how close things are. You know, I'm six points behind you in 90,000 places. So
That's mental.
You can go up quite a lot still at the moment. So I think anybody that's doing particularly badly, just stay patient because a couple of good weeks, you can get you right back up the top.
I'm just looking at Rich's screen here and I didn't realise Everton had 1,800 fans.
Sorry, I'm in the Everton league.
Fair play, Rich.
I mean, what are you again in the Liverpool?
4,300 from the Liverpool fans.
And you're doing considerably better than me and I'm 1,700 in the fans. Considerable difference in the fan base, is there?
It's very telling.
Join the Triple Captain Mini League. League code JLM166.
So talking point one, boys. Toby, do you want to kick us off on this? What should we do with Salah and Sterling? I mean, the last few game weeks, they've really not performed. I mean, I think Sterling in particular hasn't done anything for about 3 or 4 weeks. And obviously both of them take up a significant amount of budget. Do you have either of them in your team? And if you do, what are you planning on doing with them? What do you think people should do with Salah and Sterling over the next few weeks?
So I've got Salah in my team and I captain him pretty much every week. Definitely, I find as well, emotion comes into fantasy football. It shouldn't, but you...
Cool feeling.
I pick Liverpool players just because I like Liverpool players, because I'm a Liverpool fan, and I don't pick players that I don't like and stuff. So Sterling's never come anywhere near my fantasy football team.
Oh, seriously?
Well, not ever since he left us to go to City. No chance. But keep him in, because even the weeks where they've not scored, I've noticed on the FPL that you get a point for a clean sheet. And Liverpool... Okay, City's defence isn't quite there at the moment, neither is Liverpool's, but... they keep clean sheets a lot of the time. And I just think Salah and Sterling, if you look at their goal scoring record, it's not a fluke. They will go back to scoring goals. The second you take them out, they'll go back to scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the fear, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't want to miss out on the points when everybody else who's got Salah is going to get them.
You've got to keep them. I know they're expensive, but between them, what, they get 45 league goals last season, around that sort of mark. I mean, there's just goals in those two. They will come good eventually. And Liverpool and City score so many goals between them that, I'm not going to be the guy that drops Mo Salah, basically.
I mean, you go and watch Liverpool quite regularly. Have you got a season ticket?
Yeah, season ticket, yeah.
So you go regularly, obviously, seeing Salah pretty much every other week.
Yeah.
Is he as good as Mane at the moment?
No, and he wasn't last season either. He's
so why do you have Salah over?
Because Mo Salah can most. I went up to Anfield for the Ghent game last week. Mo Salah played badly and scored twice. He just scores goals. He's got a knack of scoring goals. Mane is a bit of a bull in the china shop. You never know. He doesn't know what he's going to do with the ball, and neither does the defender. But he's a quality act. He's a class act. But Salah, him playing well, there's no correlation between him playing well, him playing badly, and him scoring goals. He just scores goals, and he scored 55 in his first two seasons in the Premier League. Yeah,
of course.
You've just got to keep him in, I think.
So if he gets injured, would you not even entertain the idea of putting Sterling in?
That's,
Salah's out for, say, 6 months.
Probably not, because I'm too stubborn. I'd probably end up just going and doing up one of my defenders, or my probably going and getting a Kane or Aguero up front if Salah got injured, I'd imagine, just to avoid picking Sterling.
So have you got any City players in your team?
I have De Bruyne. I took him out this weekend. Obviously, he was injured. But luckily, I've had Guendouzi on my bench all season. So he came in and got 3 points. But he's a nice option on the bench because he plays, I think if Arsenal had any sense, then they play Guendouzi, Torreira and Ceballos every week. But for some reason, Unai Emery's another manager that seems to think Granit Xhaka is Charlie Adam.
He's slightly taller, more athletic.
Slightly taller, more athletic. Charlie Adam. Bit of a wand of a left foot, which means that you keep thinking he's going to come good. But if I look at the Arsenal team, then Torreira, Guendouzi, Ceballos should play every week. But I had to take Ceballos out because Emery keeps chopping and changing him. But I bought Guendouzi in for De Bruyne, but I'm not putting De Bruyne anywhere because I had him since the first game of the season, just because I looked at him and went, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
What did he start the season at? 9.5?
9.5, yeah, something like that. And now he's gone to what, 9.9?
Yeah.
Is something like
he's
that?
10, so he's 10.
He's 10 now, isn't he? Yeah, he's flown up.
They based that price on the fact that he was injured all last season, but I knew he was going to be fit this season. Okay, not a good week to say it, but yeah, De Bruyne's got to be in everyone's team, I think, as long as he stays fit.
So who's been your... who's been your top performers? Because, I mean, I think it's interesting that you've only had De Bruyne from City. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've only had De Bruyne from City since the start of the season. And I think it's worth noting that you've got a really good rank. So who's kind of been your top performers in your team so far?
Well, I did have Zinchenko right at the start because I thought, well, he's cheap.
Yeah, so did
and
I.
And then I saw Mendy play the game and I thought, because I think Mendy, if fully fit, is a much better player than Zinchenko. So I think Pep will bring him in eventually. So I got rid of Zinchenko and brought in Chilwell quite early on in the season as soon as Mendy was fit. Because,
good move.
Yeah, and I just love Ben Chilwell. This is the thing, I talk about emotion, but also being a football fan, you put him. I just rate Ben Chilwell in real life. I think he's class. So I just like having him in the team, kind of a thing. But no, Callum Wilson's been a genius.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Callum Wilson's been a genius. I looked at his stats last season. I think he missed about 8 league games last year and still scored 15 league goals. So I was like, if he stays fit, then, and he's been brilliant. Mane and Salah, I know Salah's been off the ball recently, but start of the season he was class. And I put Eric Peters in from the start of the season for Burnley.
Good move.
Because I looked at Burnley.
He's buttons as well, right?
Yeah. And they've done brilliantly. Because Burnley 2 years ago, when they finished seventh, I think it was, and got into Europa League, they barely conceded any goals. Then last year, they really struggled with Europe.
Yeah. They don't have the squad depth.
They didn't have which is what Wolves. So I didn't put any Wolves players in my team because I was like, they're going to struggle with Europe as well. They just don't have the squad. So I just looked at it, and Peters was dirt cheap because, again, they based him on the fact that Burnley conceded loads of goals last season. And he's been class, but he did go off injured in the second half at the weekend. But he's been quality. They've kept loads of clean sheets and he's had a couple of assists as well. But yeah, Salah, Mane and Callum Wilson have been my... And Tammy Abraham as well. But I put him in about 2 or 3 weeks in, I think.
So you got him. You got Abraham just as he was like starting to find the back of the net.
Yeah, I didn't get him. I wish I'd been there for the week where he scored. Was it 4 or no? Hat-trick, scored 3. But I think I got him in not long after that before. Because I think he'll... You look at Tammy Abraham, he's scored goals.
I mean, he's buttons there, and he really, for a striker who plays for Chelsea. Who's leading the line for Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in European positions right now.
I'm just looking over Rich's shoulder at his team as well. I wish I'd got on the Mason Mount bandwagon earlier, because what a signing he is. But I've got too many potential injuries to bring him in, but Mason Mount's been brilliant.
Yeah. He's like one of the top scoring midfielders, I think, this season. I think he's the fifth highest point scorer out of anybody in the midfield. And I mean, for the price you're paying for him, 6.8.
Yeah.
It's like absolutely nothing. And I mean, he's got his England call-up as well, hasn't he, for this week? So absolutely deserved alongside Tammy Abraham as well.
I didn't know if he was going to play. I looked at the Chelsea team at the start of the season. I thought Pedro, Willian, Hudson-Odoi coming back, you know, and I just didn't know if he was going to play. But Mason Mount now, I'd go as far as to say he's been so good this season. He's probably the first name on the team sheet this year for Frank Lampard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously we've got the international break and whatever now, but I'm considering having three
Chelsea players like in my starting lineup.
We are going to talk about Chelsea. That's the third talking point. Yeah. So just stay on Salah and Sterling just for now. Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Sure. Nice one. So okay. Yeah. So obviously you've had Salah and Mane in your team. Yeah, I think that sounds like a good move. I mean, they're both nailed on to start for Liverpool, aren't they? And you haven't got that agony of one of them scoring and the other one not, if you haven't got either. Do you know what I mean? If you've only got one of them in your team. And so fair play. I think made some good moves so far this season.
Looking at Salah, if you go onto Salah's profile there, like, what's he done in like the past weeks? Because I mean, Sterling, he got 20 points on the first game week.
Yeah.
He scored a hat-trick and got a clean sheet and got the full bonus points as well. But since then, he's just been single figures. He's got a few goals since. I mean, he even got dropped, didn't he, for the thrashing of Watford. Salah, in the same kind of vein in terms of points scoring?
This is what I mean about Salah is that, okay, 2 points at Leicester. This is the first time he's got 2 points because they conceded that one goal. But week before, he got three because Sheffield United, they kept a clean sheet. He got 5 against Chelsea, 9 against Newcastle, 6 against Burnley, and then 15 Arsenal, and then 12 at the start of the season against Norwich. So even, this is what I mean about Salah, even when he's not playing well, he could still score you points. And like you mentioned it earlier, the Pep roulette, I just don't trust Pep. Klopp will play that front three every week if they're fit. And I just never know what Pep's got lined up. I mean, I think he ruined a lot of people's weekends a few weekends ago when he put De Bruyne on the bench out of nowhere.
Oh, it's Norwich.
And then they lost the game.
Exactly.
I just think Salah, Mane and Firmino are just, they play every week. So if you can get Mane and Salah in, then they're definitely worth having. And we keep a lot of clean sheets. So yeah, I'll stick with Salah unless this ankle injury is worse than they're saying. But as long as he's fit, Salah's always in my team.
Yeah, I think it's good advice. I mean, I'm not thinking about bringing Salah in, but if I had him, I would still hold because, like you say, I think he's got that quality. Two or three goals are only ever around the corner for him. I do think Mane's been Liverpool's most dangerous player for quite a while now, and I agree with you. Last season, I thought he took over Salah, particularly in the back end of last season, and he was better. Salah was outperforming him on the stats side of things, like he was having more shots, he was getting into more dangerous positions. This season, Mane is there or thereabouts. They're about level on stats, and Mane continues to just be a better finisher. He's much more clinical. I think Salah's goal conversion rate in the last four games is about 9%, whereas Mane's is about 25-30%. I'd back Mane.
Great stats. Great stats.
Yeah. I love my stats.
Excellent work.
So I'm thinking about bringing Mane in for Sterling because I've got Aguero anyway. I'm thinking about bringing De Bruyne back in, and that would mean I'd have De Bruyne and Aguero from City and Alexander-Arnold and Mane from Liverpool. At the moment, I've only got Alexander-Arnold, and I think having Mane or Salah is you do need one of them. I think now I went with the three City, but like you say, the Pep roulette. I haven't had three of them play in the same game, so it's almost not worth having three City attackers, particularly on a week like this week when you know they lost to Wolves. So I'm thinking about getting rid of Sterling for Mane. What about you, Rich?
I'm considering doing a wild card this weekend for next weekend. Sorry, that's international break. Taking Sterling out of my team because I've shown blind faith to him and he's just not been delivering at all. I mean, I didn't have him in for the game week one, which is the one week to have him in for. That worry of people are going to keep him in and they're going to score, get all his points, and I'm not. I'm getting over that now because I've got a feeling that Son, Mane, and De Bruyne, if he's fit, is much more of an investment than having, you know, 12.1 million spent on Sterling or 12.5 on Salah. So trying to redistribute the wealth throughout my midfield. And I think with Tottenham playing Watford in their game after the international break, Watford have been absolutely atrocious this season. So I feel like Son, out of anybody in white for Spurs, could be the man to get the goals for them. And like we've already said, Mane's Currently the man in form for Liverpool in the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually thinking of taking Son out because I think Spurs just looked terrible. I mean, they were as bad, if not worse, than Man United against Brighton, and that is saying something. They were toothless, didn't really have many chances. You know, lost 3-0 to Brighton. They only had 3 shots on target. I think their XG was like 0.4. Like, it's really, really bad. And for 9.8 million, I mean, I think I've got the money to do Sterling to Mane, Son to De Bruyne. And I think Mane and De Bruyne are looking a lot better than Sterling and Son right now.
But there's the risk that De Bruyne could be missing again for your game week on the return.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at
that. Yeah, that is a risk. Yeah. And then I've got 4
exclamation marks over my team. Yeah, and that's my worry at the minute. So I can't make any changes because De Bruyne is a question mark. Mo Salah's a question mark. Eric Peters is a question mark. And then I've got Mason Greenwood, who's been on the bench all season doing nothing, but I haven't needed him, luckily. But yeah, that's it. So I daren't change anything at the minute especially. Managers used to come out on the Friday, the press conference, managers used to come out and say, yeah, Mo won't be fit for this weekend. But now they don't want the opposition to know. So they don't tell you now. They say, oh, we're hopeful he'll be here for this weekend and they could be out for another month. Yeah, so yeah. I'm just looking at that team with all those yellow exclamation marks going, even if I wanted to make some of these changes, I daren't do it. The De Bruyne one's huge.
Have you not played your wild card or any of your chips yet?
I have.
I've played your wild card.
I played it quite early. Basically, I thought, why wait? There was a few changes I wanted to make. I didn't want to lose -4 points. And I figured, well, as good a time as any, I'd rather make the changes now than wait. So I made it about 3 weeks in. And it's worked out really well.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
But now is the time where I'm going, yeah, maybe I did use that a bit too early. But yeah, the good news is, if ever you're going to have 4 exclamation marks over your team, do it during an international break when they've got 2 weeks to come back.
Yeah, I think you just got to be patient and wait and see what happens over the international break, and hopefully during the press conferences before the next game they'll say that Salah's fit and De Bruyne is fit, and then suddenly you don't have as much to worry about. But I think you're right to stay patient. So I guess from that we're saying, if you've got Salah, hold him. I'm thinking about maybe switching Sterling out for Mane, but we're confident that both of them will come good, aren't we? I think.
Read the Triple Captain blog at soundrebel.co.uk/triple captain.
So talking point two, why is FPL so unpredictable this season? I mean, there was an interesting tweet that Background Ben flagged up from @FPL_JB, which was an illustration of how difficult it is to predict anything this season. Team of the week for game week 8 and their scores in game week 7. So the team of the week for game week 8 got 136 points. It's got the likes of Milner, Mane, Hourihane, Matty Longstaff, Wesley Traore, David Luiz in there. And the week before, they scored a total of 16 points between them. So from 16 points to 136 points. Why is FPL so unpredictable this season? What do you think's going on? I mean, I've very rarely got my captain choice right this year.
Yeah.
The averages have been quite low. Like, there's been quite a few shock results, hasn't there? Like we just said, Salah and Sterling not for the premiums, perhaps not performing as well as they have been doing. Like, what do you think's been the reason for that? If there is one.
I don't know. I feel like it may just be, if you look at the top teams, specifically Liverpool, they seem to get goals from different parts of the pitch this season. I mean, we've seen in the win over Sheffield United, Wijnaldum scored, and he's not traditionally a goal scorer. Milner, again, against Leicester, scoring the penalty there. I feel like maybe for the top teams, it's just maybe redistributed around different parts of the teams. And then every other team other than Liverpool and Manchester City, that's the reason why it's so unpredictable. It's because you don't know what Man United are going to do. I mean, Chelsea, remember, lost 4-0 to Man United on the opening day of the season, and now they're absolutely flying. Norwich beat Manchester City 3-2 and then get hammered by Villa. There's no consistency to it this season. I guess this is the thing that makes the Premier League so entertaining, but also makes FPL an absolute nightmare every week. But I don't think there's any kind of answer to it. I suppose you could throw in injuries. Like, Alisson got injured on the first weekend of the season as well. Obviously, De Bruyne and the whole Pep roundabout and that sort of thing. I've genuinely no idea why it's so unpredictable, but makes it more interesting, at least, I suppose. What do you reckon?
Well, yeah, I mean, that team you read out that top two. I mean, that team would get relegated. It was an awful list of players. Like,
hardly a fantasy team.
You're never going to put half the players in your team. And sorry, background, Ben, but, you know, Hourihan's in nobody's FBL team, surely. But But I reckon if you go back every FPL season and you actually think back to 8 weeks in, especially with these two international breaks so early, you can't really get a feel for the league yet. None of the teams in the league have had enough run of games to really... You can't work out what their strengths and weaknesses are, really. There's little signs, but I think this is such a weird... I mean, Liverpool haven't really kept many clean sheets this year in the Premier League, but they will. They've just played 8 games with an international break and another one around the corner now. And we talked about stick or twist with Sterling and Salah. Come 38 games, as long as those two stay fit, they'll have around 20 league goals each. And so will Aguero and Aubameyang and Kane, and the usual suspects will be up there. So I just think it's really early in the season. I just think FPL always starts like this. And then as the season goes on, more and more people start getting the same players. You know, in 2 months' time, probably everyone will have Mason Mount and everybody will have Todd Cantwell and those sort of players. But it just takes a few... I don't think really now it's that run-up. Once this international break's over, we'll know by about Christmas time, the league will be really clear. And I bet you if you look at the top scorers, I'll tell you now, Teemu Pukki is going to be nowhere near the top scorers in the Premier League. I love the bloke. I love Norwich. I love everything they represent. But if you've got him in your team, take him out because he's not scored anywhere. He failed in the Bundesliga or he failed in the SPL. If you fail in the SPL, then you're rubbish, right? True. He scored some good goals last season for Norwich and he got off to a flyer this year. But we've seen a lot of players come up, Michu at Swansea and people like Michael Chopra and stuff.
Michael Chopra.
And cream always rises to the top. Teemu Pukki will not finish anywhere near Harry Kane, Aubameyang, Aguero, Sterling, Salah, Mane come the end of the season. So I just think it's still really early. And I think not only that, teams don't know their best team yet. James Milner's barely kicked a ball in the Premier League. Yep. He got on a goal and assist at the weekend, but you're never going to put him in your team. So I just think the unpredictability is mainly down to the fact that even the teams themselves haven't settled into the league yet.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying a few weeks ago, weren't we, Luke, that there's starting to be like a template that's starting to form. And then literally like the week after, it's gone completely because De Bruyne is injured and Sterling's not scoring and that sort of thing. So that template's been like broken almost immediately.
Yeah, and I think there's a real danger of trying to chase points, you know, and going, well, Mane's just had a good week. I mean, I'm saying that as I'm thinking about bringing Mane in for Sterling, but there's a danger of going, well, Mane's had a good week, bring him in for Salah, and then Salah will have a good week, and suddenly you want Salah back, and then Aguero will have a good week, and I think you're absolutely right, Toby, in that the best players will be the best players come the end of the season. So I think it is a real question of be patient for now and stick with the players that you brought in that you know have got that quality. And I can say, you know, the underlying stats, the players that you'd expect to be top of the charts are still top of the charts.
Yeah.
You know, Sterling's having the most shots. Salah's having the most shots. Mane's the most accurate. Aguero's having the most shots in the box. You know, it's not like there's these random players that are suddenly top of the underlying stats where you think, oh God, this is weird. The thing that's weird is that the best players are missing more chances at the moment. And they're a bit unlucky. I think Liverpool have been really unlucky to not keep more clean sheets. I mean, Leicester had one shot on target, two shots on goal, and they scored. You know, I think if Alisson was in goal, he would have saved that Madison shot, and Leicester and Liverpool would have won 1-0 probably. Mm. They wouldn't have needed that penalty. So, you know, and I think City are an odd one. I mean, you know, losing to Norwich and then losing to Wolves, and both times they were without De Bruyne. It kind of, I am a little bit concerned about them, and I think it's a little bit odd, but again, you'd expect them to get back to, you know, beating Watford 8-0.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, the City game. I mean, by the way, I did say last week Wolves are going to get something at the Etihad.
You did. You did.
We do have that.
What a shout that is. What a shout that is.
I owe my mate Lewis a Carvery. Yeah, we bet a Carvery on it.
With extra gravy.
Extra big one with sausages from Toby, yeah.
But yeah, so you think when City lost to Norwich, they then came out and absolutely battered Watford the week after. Mm. So City could do the exact same thing. I can't even remember who they've got on the next game week after the international break, but whoever they're playing.
Palace away, I think.
Palace away. So, you know, that could be, probably not going to be an 8-0 against Palace, but you know, it's probably going to be They're going to come out all guns firing.
City can turn over anyone at any point by 4-5-6-0. And actually, weirdly, more so than Liverpool, who are also brilliant. But City just, you never know what you got. I mean, they beat West Ham 5-0 away in the opening game of the season. And actually, since then, West Ham have been pretty good, apart from, you know, the last weekend. But yeah, City, more than anyone else in the league, can turn up and just absolutely rout people. And that's why Sterling will finish with a lot of goals and a few assists as well.
Yeah, who do you reckon will be top scorer in terms of goals this season?
I mean, I thought Harry Kane was going to really benefit from not having a major tournament this year because he seems to roll his ankle at least once a season. Him and Aguero, you can guarantee, will miss a group of 4 or 5 games at one point. It happens every year. But I thought Harry Kane, no international tournament. I thought, right, Tottenham Champions League final. But he's actually, fair play to the bloke, he scored 5 goals in a team that's playing awfully. But so I said Harry Kane at the start of the season, and I'll stick my neck out and stay with Harry Kane, but they're going to have to turn things around pretty sharpish. But the fact that Tottenham are playing that bad and Harry Kane's got 5 and 8, he's just
quality, doesn't
he? He scores goals for fun, yeah, he's an outrageous finisher.
And who would you rather have in your team, Toby, Sterling or Aguero, if you had to pick one?
I'd go Sterling because if you go through Aguero's stats, when was the last time he played 30? Has he ever played 38 league games for City? I think he played 29 last season. He's 31. He always has a bit of a calf niggle here and there and stuff. And also, I think Pep Guardiola is desperate to get Gabriel Jesus in the team sometimes. So I think in weeks where they've got 2 games or they play in Europe in the week in a big game, I think he will start Jesus against some of the smaller teams. Whereas I think Sterling will more or less start most games this season. But then again, it's Pep we're talking about. He'll probably go and play Mahrez and Sane for the last 4 months of the season. But Aguero is so good and I love watching him play. And if he plays, he scores. His goals per minute ratio since he's been at City is a joke. Yeah. But I just worry there's a little niggle in Aguero always around the corner. And it sounds ridiculous. In FPL, I'd rather my player broke his leg because you just know he's out. It's a calf strain. You're going, well, is he going to play
this?
It's the yellow triangle. I want a Gibril Cissé leg break. I go, right, I'll move on. He's not playing. We can get Gibril out the team. But Sergio's always got a little niggles around the corner. So I'd put Sterling in ahead of Aguero. And you get the clean sheet for a point for the clean sheet. And that City, once Laporte's back especially, will keep a lot more clean sheets.
Mm. Yeah. And can we just talk about, just very quickly, about Aston Villa? Do you think that their result over Norwich is, we should be rushing to get them in? Or do you think it's much more to do with Norwich being the worst team defensively in the league? I mean, looking at the stats, Villa, they had about the same amount of shots, 21 shots from Norwich, 22 from Villa, 12 from Villa on target and only 5 from Norwich. I thought El Ghazi looked really dangerous. But yeah, do you think it's a case of it was because it was Norwich, or do you think we should be looking at Villa assets?
It's a tough question.
That Wesley has surprised me because I looked at him when at the start of the season I put Haller in my team from West Ham because I'd seen a bit of him playing for Frankfurt and I thought this guy's class. And then he got a niggle second week of the season, so I took him out. And I was eyeing up that Wesley as well. But he hasn't scored that many goals, and he's also not scored that many goals in pretty bang average leagues as well. Did he come from Club Brugge?
Yeah, he scored 20 goals last season in the Belgian league.
Yeah, in the Belgian league. So I was like, oh, that's no form to be going putting him in the FPL. But I mean, who knows? He's young, and also he's a Brazilian. A Brazilian, you never know. He might turn out to be the best player in the world, or he might be the next Robinho. You've got no idea. Yeah. But
I mean, he's the least Brazilian player I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's more like Ashley Barnes.
And the other least Brazilian player I've ever seen is Joelinton at Newcastle. Oh, yeah. Where has Brazil suddenly found all these target men from? It's so bizarre.
So we're not too sure on Villa. I mean,
I'll tell you.
Go on, Ben. Yeah, go on.
So, Villa fan.
Yeah, one thing made the difference this week. Nakamba. Marvellous Nakamba made every bit of difference for the Villa. He's in the middle. He set people free. He gave the defenders confidence to move up further. With him playing, bring Villa assets in.
Okay, now, interesting.
Well, genuinely, so this is really sad. But so I do, you know, the football index. I don't know if anybody football. Yeah. But I do a bit of football index on the site. And I do FPL. And genuinely, I go on Twitter and I search through fans talking about their team. Because nobody knows their team better than fans. So background Ben might just sound like he's being a one-eyed Villa fan. But he will know exactly what he's talking about. Nobody knows more about their team than fans. So I go on Twitter all the time and just see what people are saying. So normally around December time, this is how sad I am. There's if you go around December time or January, normally you type into Twitter, player of the season so far. And everybody starts doing their player of the season so far in around December, January time.
That's really clever.
And you will find Villa fans saying that Marvellous has been marvellous. But I'll have only seen a bit of him a match today, and if they're televised on a Monday night or a Sunday late kickoff or whatever.
And has there been much chat about Marvellous in the camber so far?
Ben's the first person who's ever said his name out loud.
You wait.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at TripleCaptain3.
Final talking point for this week. Are Chelsea the best attacking team in the Premier League right now?
I think they are, like, genuinely, in terms of options and different types of players who can score for them. We've already talked about Mason Mount and how good he's been this season. But you've got the old guard, like Willian, who can also do it. Kante, bizarrely, has been grabbing quite a few this season as well. I mean, the man they spent loads of money on, Pulisic, not been that impressive.
No.
Probably advised against him out of anybody, the attacking options. But we're also now going to see the return of Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's missed pretty much all of the season through injury. And he's only 5.9, which is pretty cheap. I suppose he's not done it quite regularly before. But, you know, he plays for England and that sort of thing. So, you know, he's a decent player. And then, of course, you've got Abraham up front as well, who's a must-have on your front line for just £7.7 million. But yeah, I can't think of anybody else who'd outdo them attacking-wise, even Liverpool in terms of spread of regular goal scorers.
Well, also, I'd say that Liverpool, not so much in the first couple of years under Klopp, but the last season in particular, they've become a really well-rounded team, and City are a well-rounded team. They don't concede many goals. But so in real-life football, Liverpool and City, great going forward, but also got a bit of defence. But for FPL, Chelsea are pretty poor defensively, but they just bomb forward. Like Lampard's a bloke who made a career out of getting himself in the box.
Exactly.
And he's got midfielders getting themselves in the box. Yeah. I think for FPL, I really like Tammy Abraham.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be on 8 goals in 8 games, but it's the system they play. It's just...
It works. He's top scorer in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said earlier, as soon as I get rid of some yellow triangles in my team, I'm getting Mason Mount in, because I just think they're just going to score a week. And Hudson-Odoi, I think, is the best player they've got going forward in that whole squad in real life. And he's been injured. But I think he's better than Willian, better than Pedro, better than Barkley. I think he's a great player to get in. If you've got the luxury of just a week where you go, I've got no injuries, he's 5.9 mil, you can afford to bring it, I think he's worth a punt. I rate Hudson-Odoi so much. And although we've only seen a little bit of him towards the end of last season before he got injured, he had end product in those couple of months we did see him last year. He got goals and assists. So, yeah, I think FPL-wise, they are the best attacking team in the league, probably. They're so gung-ho with their tactics that it's great for just scoring points.
Yeah,
I think they are right now as well. I mean, particularly with their fixtures. I mean, if they were about to play, you know, Liverpool, City, better teams, Leicester, better teams defensively, if they had hard fixtures coming up, I'd maybe say perhaps not. But their fixtures are great. And like you say, you know, I love the way Tammy Abraham plays football. I think he seems like he really enjoys himself. And I like the way he turns and finishes. And I think he's a great striker. Mason Mount as well. He's someone that I haven't had yet this season, and I really want him. I've got Tomori in as well, who's kind of capable of a goal and the odd clean sheet when it happens. But I think I'm really quite jealous of Chelsea's young players at the moment, because Lampard's doing the job that I wanted Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to do, and the job that I thought Ole was going to do when he first joined the club. You know, you want Rashford to be playing like Abraham, you want Lingard to be playing like Mason Mount, you want Pogba to be playing like Kante. It's kind of Chelsea look really good at the moment. So a triple up for the next for the next few weeks should kind of be in everybody's mind, really, and particularly with Hudson-Odoi coming in now as well.
I'm thinking exactly that. I'm thinking Abraham, Mount and Hudson-Odoi is my triple threat for Chelsea. I mean, you look at the other players at the same price for Hudson-Odoi, they shouldn't be anywhere near him. Like, you've got Barnes at Leicester, who's 5.9. You've got Iwobi at Everton, who I've stupidly brought in and regret ever bringing him in.
I could have told you that was a bad idea.
He's got 2 headers in like his first 2 games, and I was like, this guy's going to be smashing. Going to be great. No, he's not even starting anymore. And then you've got just a couple of players who are a bit cheaper. Johan Bahach, I don't know how you pronounce it.
Nobody can say his name at Brighton.
At Brighton, and Trossard for like 0.1 million less. And you're telling me that Hudson-Odoi is only worth 0.1 more than those two players. Like, he's so cheap. obviously that's because he's not really, didn't really do it much last season until the end of last season.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's been out. So I think the advice would be for this week, get Hudson-Odoi in whilst he's at the price he's at.
That's if, that's if he keeps his place in the team, though. I mean, there's a chance he might not start every game. I think I'd like to see him start two or three times and produce returns before putting him in. But definitely worth a punt, yeah.
I'm looking at Richard's team in front of me right now. He's got Son. Is it worth taking Son out and putting Hudson-Odoi in? Very possibly. Tottenham aren't playing well. It's not, you're not losing somebody like a Mane who's going to guarantee points. Son might not score points for a few weeks. I think he's definitely worth a punt.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. You heard it here first. Get Hudson-Odoi.
That's going to blow up in my face now, isn't it?
Triple Captain. Email your voice note questions to triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk.
Okay, so it's international break time. So answer the following for your FPL team. This is from at FPL Booster. So we've got your best player so far.
Do you want me to go first? Or
yeah, go
first?
For it.
My
yeah.
best player so far.
Just in quick, terms of quick like, fire answers.
It's got to be De Bruyne. I got him in at the start of the season when he was only 9.5. He scored double figures 3 times this season already. He's got goals. I think he's got the most assists in the Premier League. I mean, he's already got 9 assists this season, Kevin De Bruyne. It's
silly,
outrageous.
It?
And he's got a few clean sheet bonuses in there as well as game week bonuses as well. So absolutely, Kevin De Bruyne.
Callum Wilson. Callum Wilson's been a beast. Put him in first week of the season because I thought if he stays fit, he's just I just rate him so highly. 7.5 million. And I'm going through, I'm just looking at his points now. 5-5-5-5-13-7-6.
Very good.
What about you, mate?
I mean, it's picking out the bones, really. I mean, I'd say out of the players that I had at the start of the season, Sterling's got the most points. But I think I like having Alexander-Arnold in my team the most.
Yeah.
Okay, so two, your worst player so far in your FPL team.
Oh, my God.
David De Gea.
Oh, really?
Oh, De Gea.
De Gea's been a waste of space for me.
For me, it's Gylfi Sigurdsson. You know when you've got a player who you really like, so you think, oh, I'll give him one more week?
Yeah.
I gave Sigurdsson about 4 more weeks.
Yeah, Sigurdsson for me as well. Worst decision I ever made, bringing him in the start. Anyway.
Well, in life, if that's the case, you've lived a pretty good life.
Yeah, it's the worst decision I've ever made in
you've
my
done
life.
Very well.
I've had quite a good life. So next question is from Tom. If Alisson comes back, will Liverpool keep clean sheets despite tough fixtures? I think yes, they will.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean,
I'd be shocked if they don't keep a clean sheet against Man United. They've got nothing going forward.
Yeah, they really haven't. I mean, as well as him being a better shot stopper than, I forgot his name.
Adrian.
I just think he brings like a bit of like organisation and a bit of muscle to the back line. Like when you've got a goalkeeper behind you, if you're a centre-back and you've got a goalkeeper behind you who you know is a brilliant shot stopper, communicator and can distribute it like marvellously,
yeah.
I think that just gives a lot more confidence to the whole back line. And we're probably more likely to see that Liverpool defence that we saw last season come back.
And FPL General has tweeted, is it game week 9 yet?
Oh, if only. God, don't you hate watching England? Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me on a podcast during international break, lad.
International breaks are so boring. So boring. So, but yeah, I hope this this pod can keep you going until the international break is over. We might do a little preview for game week 9. We're not sure yet, but we possibly will, a little 15-20 minute preview. But yeah, I think that's about it, boys. Thanks so much, Toby, for coming on. I think
thanks for having me.
You're having such a good debut season for FPL, and you sound like you're just as into it as we are. So welcome to the community, and thanks for joining us.
If you're not spending your Friday night putting your accumulators on and sorting out your fantasy team, then you're not living life properly.
Exactly. And Toby, where can we can find you on Radio X? Is that right?
Radio X, Monday to Friday, 10 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. Yep, I'll be there if you need me.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So if you join our fantasy league now, do you automatically go top of our fantasy league?
Yeah, but I've seen your league. There's a bloke ahead of me, so let me know when he drops out.
JLM166 is the code for the league. We're at TripleCaptain3 on Twitter and Instagram, and we are at TripleCaptain@soundrebel.co.uk if you want to send us an email or a voice note question. We've also got a blog up now, haven't we, as well? It's soundrebel.co.uk/TripleCaptain. There's going to be more articles added to that each week. So yeah, we're coming at you from all forms of media. Great, so enjoy the international break, everyone, and we'll see you before game week 9.
See ya.
Cheers, guys.
You've been listening to Triple Captain from Sound Rebel, and we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please subscribe on your chosen podcast app. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please rate and review us to help more people discover this podcast. And follow at Triple Captain 3 on Instagram and Twitter. Triple Captain from Sound Rebel. Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.